Blog Talk Radio.
We'll be out of town on the land on the next Sabbath. I don't know if I will be able to get to a computer. But the next time that I do a lesson for the Sabbath, or you know, Sabbath evening or whatever, I'm actually probably going to do it on love, the fulfillment of the law, and what is driving these precepts is, you know, people are saying we don't have to keep the law because Christ fulfilled the law, because Mashiach, Yeshua, fulfilled the law. Okay, so we don't have to keep the law. And that is so asinine to me. That is so crazy to me that people would think that because Messiah fulfilled the law, they don't have to. And so believing in him, well, I believe he fulfilled it, so I don't have to fulfill it. We're going to show just how wrong they are in that assumption and in that assertion that they don't have to fulfill the law because Messiah did it. But we're going to look at this thing from a different standpoint on this evening. Are you righteous? Because as I was doing this study and fleshing this thing out, I know the Most High, you know, told me to do this, and as I was fleshing it out, based upon the scriptures that we were reading out of Ezekiel, and I told you that there are some things that the Most High said in Ezekiel chapter 20 that the church is using from Galatians as a reason not to keep the law, not to fulfill it. And so I want to come at this thing this evening from that standpoint. And this is, you know, pointing a finger at the churches, pointing a finger at everyone who says that they believe in Messiah. Everyone that says that they believe in Messiah. So then this is what you have to judge yourself by, if you truly believe in him. So we want to greet everybody in Pal Talk, in Blog Talk, on the internet in general, whether you're in North America or South America, whether you are on the African continent, or you are in the Middle East or the Far East, whether you are in the European theater or the communist bloc countries. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. We are going to do what we normally do. We're going to do our statement of faith, and then we are going to pray in. We'll play a song or two, whatever the Most High puts on my heart. And then we're going to jump into this precept. And as I said, for the listeners, you know, this is even for you, and really, it, you start using these as a testimony to your family. You start using these as a testimony to anyone that you talk to that doesn't believe that they are required to keep and to fulfill the law. And I think the way the Most High has given me to do it on the next time is, you know, through love, because love is the fulfillment of the law. So to do it from that standpoint, from loving. Okay, and so we're going to look at how Messiah fulfilled the law. And then we're going to look at if he fulfilled the law and we're not required to, then we're not required to love. We're not required to love the Most High. We're not required to love our fellow man. Because this is what we're saying when we say we don't have to, we're not required to do the law because, you know, Messiah did. Bunch of nonsense, okay? But we are going to look at, are you righteous? On this evening. Are you righteous? And let us do our statement of faith first. So let me have the ladies cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. And let us do our statement of faith on this evening. And hold on, let me send somebody a text. I know they forget. Statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe that there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. From glory to glory, Yah Elohim, you are God, and you are our Savior and our Redeemer. You are the only one that we worship and that we will bow down to. Hallelujah, and we give you glory and honor and praise because it belongs to you and to you alone, O Father. We worship you, we worship you, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah to you, O Yah Elohim. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to you. Glory, 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 glory. Glory to our Elohim. Glory to our Elohim. Glory to you, O Yah Elohim. There is only you and you alone. Hallelujah. We thank you on today, Father. We lift thee up and we magnify you on this day. Hallelujah. Our prayer for today. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. And our verse for this evening, we're actually going to come from the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 10. And this is also the verse that we are going to base the precept on this evening. But in every nation, he that fears him, he that fears Yah, and worketh righteousness, is accepted with him. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. I know a lot of our saints, a lot of saints in the world, in the church, don't really like a whole lot of Old Testament. And they feel like it doesn't apply to them. But really, everything in the old is referenced in the new. That's why you cannot get around referring to the Old Testament, okay, or to Torah, the prophets, the Pentateuch. You cannot get around referring to it. So the New Testament refers to the old. And, there's just no way around that. You can't take the old on its own, by itself. What did I just say? You can't take the old. No, let me press that. I know I said something wrong. I can't even know what I said just now. You cannot take the new by itself without the old. It is impossible to come to a complete understanding, a truthful understanding, a righteous understanding, a just understanding of the scriptures and what they are intended for without the old. It is impossible. You cannot do it with the New Testament alone. Okay, the new refers back to the old, and so when we even look at the words that are used. The word righteousness. Let me bring up my precept. Well, you know what? I'm out of order. I'm in a hurry to jump into this. Let us do the necessary. Let us sound the shofar.
Darkness, my God, that is who you are. you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working.
That everybody knows and understands that our Elohim is a way maker. He is a promise keeper. Hallelujah. A miracle worker. Let us start on this precept, and we want to first define this word, righteousness. Our reference scripture, Acts chapter 10 and verse 35. But in every nation, not just Israel, but in every nation, he that fears him, first component, got to fear the Most High, and works righteousness. So we got to look up this word righteousness and what its definition is in the scriptures in order to understand who's accepted with him. No matter what nation you're in, number one, you got to fear him. Got to fear the Most High. Number two, you got to work righteousness. What is this word righteousness in the scriptures? In the scriptures, and this verse for righteousness, the word for righteousness in the Hebrew is tzedak. All right, tzedak. From the Strong 866-63. Just, lawful, righteousness as like a man. But his root is lawfulness. Being lawful. So I put in this precept, are you righteous? Are you lawful? Do you keep the laws of the Most High? In other words, this is who is going to be accepted with him. It's not who keeps their own law, but who keeps his law. when Israel, one of the faults that the Most High had with Israel was that they were keeping the laws of the nation and then adopting their spiritual law and worshiping other deities, other idols. And the Most High was like, I gave you my statutes, my judgment, my commandments, my laws. And I told you to keep those, not to keep the laws of the heathen. And so to everyone, and I'm going to say it this way, this might hurt some feelings, but I don't care. You are not Israel if you are not following the laws of the Most High. And according to the scriptures, you are a heathen. Let me say that again. If you are not keeping the commandments of the Most High, and you are not, even if you are, if you're not keeping the commandments of the Most High, then you are not part of Israel. Then you are a heathen. And so everywhere in the scripture where it refers to a heathen, you have to say me. Now, once you come into the Most High, and once you come into Messiah, then you're no longer supposed to be heathenistic because you are being engrafted into Israel. Grafted in. Not to keep your own law. Not to keep your own righteousness, but the righteousness of the Most High. So this, let's get the Webster's Dictionary definition of righteousness. According or accordingly to the divine law. Divine law is God's law. It's the Most High's law. That is what determines whether you are righteous or not. Not whether you follow the laws of the land, the laws of your government, the laws of your household. It is whether you are following divine law. That's what determines whether you are righteous, whether you are lawful. Applied to person, it denotes one who is holy in heart. Holy in heart means that you follow the laws of the Most High and observant of divine commands in practice, not the commandments of men. So if you are not following divine law, the laws of Elohim, the laws of the Most High God, then you are a heathen. And you are heathenistic. Once you are grafted into Israel, you must follow the laws of the Most High. Elohim, to be right, considered righteous. You got to follow his law. Okay. Apply to the thing, it denotes consonant to the divine will or to justice as a righteous act or a lawful act. It is used chiefly in theology and applied to Elohim, applied to God, to his testimonies and to his saints. So if you are a righteous person, a lawful person, then you are observing the divine laws of the Most High. And if you say you are not up under the law, if you say you don't have to fulfill the law, say you don't have to keep the law, then you're not righteous. In any sense. And you're not accepted with the Most High, according to his word. But that's not Brother Miles saying that. That is the word of the Most High saying that. So let us go to Acts chapter 10. Let's go to Acts chapter 10. I'm like I need something to drink. side. Because I don't want the world to think, and I don't want Israel to think that, you know, that this applies to Israel only, and to the world to think that this applies to Israel only. Peter is sent to Cornelius. Cornelius is an Italian, and he's in the Roman army, and he's stationed in Israel. And while he has been stationed in Israel, he has been keeping the statutes, laws, and the commandments of the Most High, and he's been taking care of the Jewish people, and he's been paying alms and doing all these things that are required by the law. And he wants to know, what else do I need to do? He's in prayer. What else do I need to do? What else must I do? He's a heathen. He's a Gentile. And an angel appears to him. Says, send for Peter. And he'll tell you what you need to do. Now, Peter is a lawkeeper. He's lawful. And under the law at that time, he is not permitted to go to one of another nation. The Most High always forbid Israel to do it, even though a lot of them did it and broke the law. He's not one of them. And he would not go to one of another nation. The Most High gives him a vision. He left down a seat with unclean animals in it. And he tells Peter, Peter, get down and go kill and eat. And Peter's like, not so. Nothing common or unclean has ever touched my lips. And the Most High had to tell him this three times because this was so embedded in him, I'm not supposed to touch anything unclean. But he's trying to set up an example in Peter that I'm about to change something. And it wasn't the dietary laws he was about to change. It was that I don't want you calling anything, any man from another nation, common or unclean. And he uses the common and unclean animals to make this point with Peter. If I declare it to be clean, then it is clean. Because I'm the one that declared it to be unclean. Now, there's going to be three heathens to door, three Gentiles. Get down and go with them. Because they're one of another nation. So to change Peter's heart concerning this thing, the Most High had to convince him that I have determined that I am going to save the Gentiles. And I'm going to do it through you, Peter. So Peter goes to Cornelius' house. Verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that Elohim is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that fears him and works righteously, he is accepted with him. To paraphrase that verse, but in every nation, he that fears God and keeps his law is accepted with him. Peter understood this now. And when he went and talked to Cornelius, he gave Cornelius the gospel. And when Cornelius and his family heard the gospel, they believed. And the Most High filled them with the Ruach HaKodesh, or the Holy Spirit. Another sign to Peter that the Most High had accepted the Gentiles. Because the same thing that happened to them on the day of Pentecost just happened to this Gentile, this heathen. And so we need to look at this, he that worketh the law. Whether you are Jew or Gentile. Now, the Most High told Israel over and over in Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 11, And I gave them my statutes and my judgment, and showed them my judgment, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. Somehow, the church doesn't believe, and most Christians today don't believe, that they got to keep his statutes and his judgment and live in them. And this is really the subtopic of this precept. Which if a man do, he shall even live in them. Because the church believes that all you got to do is believe in Messiah. And it is enough just to believe him, not do anything else. Just believe in Messiah. But if you believe in Messiah, then you're going to find you have to do something. And so we're going to dive deep into this thing on this evening. In Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 13. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walk not in my statutes. They despise my judgment, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. And my Sabbath they greatly polluted. Then said I would pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. Now, why the world believes that the Most High won't pour out his fury upon them? Because they're in Messiah? If they're not working righteousness, if they're not doing righteousness, the Most High doesn't have respect of them. He doesn't have respect of anybody that is not doing, keeping his law. Ezekiel 20 and verse 21. Again, the children, once the adults didn't do this and the Most High, you know, allowed them to die off, he gave his commandments and his statutes and his judgment to the children. Those 20 and under. Notwithstanding, the children rebelled against him. And they walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. They polluted my Sabbath. Then said I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness. The Most High has always wanted his people to walk in his judgment and in his statutes. To be righteous. To be lawful. And it doesn't matter what nation you're in. Doesn't matter whether you are a Jew or a Gentile. If you fear him and do this, you are accepted with him. But if you say you fear him and don't do this, don't walk in his statutes and don't walk in his judgment, he has no respect of you. Understand it, okay? Now, I'm going to skip Genesis chapter 26 and verse 4 and 5 because we're going to go into Galatians first. And we're going to come back to this. To Genesis chapter 26, okay, and verse 4 and 5. Let's go to Galatians chapter 2. And I pray you're taking notes because as you talk to family and friends, again, we want to give you the ammunition you need when they say that they do not have to keep the law because Messiah fulfilled the law. Okay, and I'm going to do a separate one on that one. From that standpoint, from the position of love. Okay? But we are doing this from the position of being righteous on this evening, being lawful. Because this is who Peter said that the Most High, this is who Peter said are the people that are accepted with the Most High. No matter what nation, no matter what land you're in, if you fear him and do righteousness, means that you keep his laws. Galatians chapter 2. Now this chapter Paul is going to the Gentile nation, and he is talking to them about why are they turning away from the gospel, okay, and doing something else. And he gets kind of deep into this because, you know, there are some things that have been happening. The Most High told Peter to go to the Gentiles. But as soon as Peter got confronted with some of his Hebrew brothers, he pulled away from that. And so the law told him, so the Orthodox Jew, the common average everyday Jew, that he couldn't go amongst the Gentiles. And if you were a law keeper and you didn't know this, then if you saw Peter amongst the Gentiles, then you would be coming against him. And they did. Even James and Cephas and I forget the other name, but James, the brother of Jesus, came against him. And Peter withdrew from what the Most High told him to do, go to the Gentiles, be among them. But when his brothers, his fellow Hebrew brothers, came and confronted him, he withdrew. Now, Paul says that, hey, I got on him and I confronted him to his face about this. Because he caused a lot of the Hebrew brothers to sin, to go away from the gospel. Okay? So there are some things that are in the scriptures that are specific, that are addressing some specific things. And people are using that, these things, to say that they don't have to keep the law. Okay. Pick this up in Galatians chapter 2, verse 15. Now, I started here because Paul goes through and he says, hey, you know, that you've been told about this gospel and who has bewitched you. And you've been given the gospel. And we Jews, who are Jews by nature, and not like you Gentiles. Because the Gentiles, they by nature, they by being who they are, didn't have any laws. They didn't have the laws of the Most High. There was no way for a Gentile really to be righteous. They had some things that were right, but, you know, it was their own made-up law. And some of it was, in a manner of speaking, right. You know, don't murder. That's kind of universal. Didn't have to come from the Holy Scriptures. And men can adopt that and say, hey, it's not right to take another human's life. So they had a law unto themselves. Okay. But the laws of the Most High were given to the Jews or the Hebrew Israelites. And so Paul says, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Now, the Jews who have the law by nature should know that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Christ Jesus or by faith in Yeshua HaMashiach. If you have been saved, if they have been converted, then they have to know that the law did not justify them. And they are only justified by faith in Messiah and what he did. Even we have believed in Yeshua HaMashiach that we might be justified by faith in Christ, by faith in Messiah, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So if we don't keep the law to be justified. We keep the law to be righteous, to be lawful. Okay? But if we, who are the Jews by nature, seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also, let me start that over, but if while we fight by Messiah. We ourselves also are found sinners. We ourselves, if we seek to be justified by Christ, and at the same time we ourselves are also found to be sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? Is he the minister of sin? And you have to ask them that. Because the bottom line is, we who are Jews by nature, we who are law keepers by nature, supposed to be a, you know, that's supposed to be our nature, even though our forefathers didn't do it, we have the law hidden. And we're supposed to know that we are not justified by the law. The law couldn't make us, couldn't justify us. It wasn't able to do it. We needed something else, and we needed Messiah to come. So we are justified by our faith in him. But while we seek to be justified in Messiah, if we ourselves are also found to be sinners like the Gentiles, is or does that make Christ the minister of sin? Elohim forbid. That means that we have to still be keeping what? The law. We do not keep the law because we have faith in Messiah. We have faith in Messiah that we will be justified before the Most High, because the law was created to condemn us. If we don't do it all, then it condemns us. If we don't do the law, then we are sinners. So while we seek to be justified in Messiah, do we continue in sin? Is Messiah the minister of sin? Elohim forbid. Paul said, that ain't what we're trying to tell y'all. For if we build again the things which I destroy, if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. In other words, if I go back to sinning again, because you were supposed to destroy that old man, that sinning man, that law-breaking man. If you build that again by sinning again, you make yourself a transgressor. Now, this is New Testament for those New Testament saints who feel like they don't have to keep the law. You are building again those things which you were supposed to have destroyed and making yourself a transgressor all over again, making yourself unrighteous, unlawful. For through the law, I am dead to the law. If you don't break the law, then you don't have to worry about the law, that I might live unto Elohim. Through the law, by keeping it, then you're dead to it. Meaning that it's just the way you are. You're not a sinner. You're not a transgressor. You're not condemned. Because you're not rebuilding that old man that you destroyed or were supposed to destroy. I am crucified with Messiah, with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Messiah or Christ. And we got to understand the power and the wisdom of Elohim unto salvation liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of Elohim, who loved me and fulfilled the law by giving himself for me. Fulfilled the law. He gave himself for me. He kept the law. He didn't break the law. But not breaking the law is fulfilling the law. Because the overall objective of the law is to love your brother and to love the Most High. And if you love your brother, then you're going to do what your brother needs. You're going to give him what he needs. You're going to hold out an open hand to him. And if you love the Most High, then you're going to keep his commandments. So Messiah fulfilled the law when he gave himself for us. He says, no greater love, there's no greater love than this, than if a man laid down his life for his brother. In laying down his life, he fulfilled the law. And he kept the law, or else he would have been a transgressor. He would have been a sinner. Okay. I do not frustrate the grace of God, because people will say we're saved by grace. And the scripture says, for by grace are you saved. And you're supposed to realize that, hey, it is the grace of God. This time period that he set aside that you can come to him and your willful sin and your ignorant sin can be forgiven you. Your willful sin can be forgiven you one time. Your ignorant sin, whenever you discover it, you confess it, and he is true and just to forgive you it. But your willful sin, if you can bring that to him one time, and you won't frustrate the grace of Elohim. For if righteousness came or come by the law, then Christ died in vain. To be righteous, you got to accept the salvation and the blood offering of Messiah, that he died for your sin and that he fulfilled the law. That don't mean that you don't keep the law. It doesn't mean that. It means that you're supposed to do the law as well. But the law won't make you righteous because the law was not designed to make you righteous. But doing the law is righteousness. It's like double talk. The law was designed to condemn you, but if you do it, if you keep it, then you will be right. But in order to have a clean conscience and to have all that sin off of you, you got to believe in Messiah. He did not die in vain. The law could never give you a clear conscience, but the law is condemning. If you do this, then this is what I'll do. And if you don't do this, you are condemned. So we want to get that condemnation off of us. We can only do that through Messiah. Because we have all these charges that were stacked against us. All the time that we broke the law was a charge. Just like every time you got a speeding ticket, you didn't pay it, and you got another speeding ticket, and you got another speeding ticket, and you got another speeding ticket. Then those charges were building up against you. And then you got a court case, and you didn't go to court. Now you got what is a breach of something, or you got another charge against you, until they come and arrest you. This is the way the law works. So what Messiah nailed to the cross was the charges that were stacked up against us. And had he not wiped out the charges, you would still be a sinner. You would still be in debt. So his death is not in vain. His death was used to justify us. And while we were yet sinners, he died for us. He wiped the slate clean for us while we were yet sinners. He didn't say, oh, you got to get clean first, and then I'll wipe your slate. So no, while you are in sin, come to me, and I'll wipe your slate clean. I'll clear all the charges from you. Now go and don't get no more charges. Go and sin no more. Now, the law is not of faith. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 12. The law is not of faith, meaning that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. You can see the law. You can touch the law. You can read the law. So the law is not of faith. The man that doeth them shall live in them. This is Galatians chapter 3 and verse 12. Because see, people are told that they have to live by faith. And in this same chapter, chapter 3 of Galatians, we're going to read this, that faith is used, and people think that because the law is not of faith, they don't have to keep the law. It's not really what it's saying. The law itself is not of faith. The definition of faith is the substance of things hoped for. You don't have to hope for the law. It's given to you. The evidence of things not yet seen. You have seen the law. You can do the law. It's not a faith thing. So the scripture says, he says in Galatians chapter 3 and 12, the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them, the law, shall live in them. Okay. So they'll take this verse, and we're going to read from verse 1 here shortly so we can get context. Because people will believe that, hey, it's trying to tell them that, hey, if I have faith, then I don't have to keep the law. The law condemns me. No, you're not keeping the law condemns you. The law itself don't condemn you. It's you're not doing and living in them that condemns you. So let's go to Galatians chapter 3, let's start in verse 1. Because the reference is the law is not of faith. And it's not of faith. You can touch the law. You can do the law. You don't have to hope for the law. The law is here. It's been given to you. You've been told what to do. You've been told what is right and what is wrong. It's not a faith. You don't have to say, well, I think, you know, I don't really know if this is right or wrong. If you have the law, you know what's right or wrong. I believe that, you know, what I'm doing is the right thing to do. Did you check it in with the law? You don't have to believe. All you got to do is go read it and find out. not a faith. Not something you have to hope for. Galatians chapter 3. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Yeshua HaMashiach has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? That's in a question. This only would I learn of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law, or by hearing of faith? Now, since the law is not of faith, then you receive the Spirit by faith. You can't see the Most High. You can't touch the Most High. So you have to receive the Holy Spirit by hearing of faith. Seal you, because he said he would, if you ask him for his Spirit. But because you can't feel and see and touch the Most High, not literally, like you can pick up the law, then you don't receive the Spirit by the works of the law, but by hearing of faith. This is what he asked him. Hey, I want to know, which one do you believe in? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? It's the receiving of the Spirit that makes us perfect, that perfects us, that moves us toward and on toward perfection. Have you suffered so many vain things? If it be yet for nothing, because they have started going backwards. He therefore that ministered to you the Spirit and works of miracles among you, does he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Again, it was by the hearing of faith. That's not the purpose of the law. The purpose of the law wasn't to give you miracles. The purpose of the law was to make you do what was right in the eyes of the Most High. Even as Abraham. Now, you got to ask yourself, why do they go to Abraham? Okay? And they're going to use Abraham as the example. Because through Abraham, the promise made to Abraham, the Gentiles are brought into the kingdom. The Most High promised Abraham that the nations would be blessed through him and through his seed. Even as Abraham believed Elohim, and it was accounted to him for righteousness or lawfulness. Abraham believed Elohim. Underline that. As we're going to look at in a few, how did Abraham believe Elohim? How did he show that he believed him? You're supposed to be the seed of Abraham, one way or the other, whether you are a Jew or a Gentile. If you are in Mashiach, then you're supposed to be the seed of a faithful Abraham. But then, if Abraham is the example, if Abraham is the standard, then we're going to have to look at Abraham to see how it was accounted to him, how his belief was accounted to him as righteous. Let's move on, and we'll come back. But remember, we're coming back to Abraham, because he's the example. Know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. So if you are of faith, then are you the children of Abraham? And remember, well, we'll get it in verse 12. And the scripture foreseeing that Elohim would justify the heathen through faith. Going to justify the heathen through faith. Preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now we're going to have to look at this faithfulness in a minute. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Now, who is under the works of the law? All of mankind. All of mankind. Adam and Eve were given one law. Don't eat from that tree. All of mankind got cursed with death because they disobeyed that one law. Now, the Most High said his laws were in effect even when men didn't know about it. He just didn't charge them. But they had still sinned. So let me get another verse here that I didn't put in here. I should put it in here right now. Let me look up a different verse here. Give me one second. Go to Romans chapter 14. Give me Romans chapter 4. We'll come back to where we're at. We're going to go to Romans chapter 4. And we're going to get verse 15. Please. Start in verse 11. Romans chapter 4, and let's start at verse 11. And it's using this from the perspective of circumcision. And Abraham received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet been uncircumcised. Now he believed the Most High, and he did what the Most High said, and he agreed to the covenant that the Most High had offered him. And he was sealed with righteousness of faith because he believed the Most High, which he had yet means that he hadn't been circumcised. He being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe. So this is why it was said that, you know, being circumcised is not required to get into the kingdom of the Most High. Because Abraham received the promise before he was circumcised. But because he believed the Most High, then the Most High says, now I'm going to enter into a covenant with you, and all of your males have to be circumcised. But he received the promise before he was circumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, their righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps Father Abraham, which he had been yet uncircumcised. Abraham believed the Most High. Okay, but we're going to see how he believed the Most High. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Now, Why was it said that he received the promise, but not through the law? For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. This promise was not given to him through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Okay? For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. The law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that which also, which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even Elohim, who quickens the dead, and calls those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believe in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. Abraham believed the Most High that the nations would be blessed through him before he'd ever saw it. He believed by faith. I believe you, Most High, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. He believed that he was the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, which was told to him. He couldn't see it. He couldn't touch it. That was faith. Okay. All right, let's go back to where we were at. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. If this doesn't apply to all mankind, something's wrong. If this only applied to the Hebrew Israelites, then only Hebrew Israelites and the nation of Israel should be the only ones dying. Think about that. All mankind is up under the curse of the law, not just Israel. Okay, so this applies to all mankind. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. All mankind was really required to do everything that is written in the book of the law. It was first given to Israel. Israel was supposed to give it to the nation. Israel. And then to the world. But it applied to the world first in Adam and Eve, in mankind, in that transgression. If it did not, then nobody should be dying except for those people who call themselves serving the Most High and were disobedient to him. Let me say that again. That if it does not apply to all mankind, then it should only apply to those who serve the Most High Elohim and are disobedient to him. But we see that all men die. All men are considered to be under sin. So all men are considered under the curse, under the works of the law. But the man, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of Elohim. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Faith in Messiah, that he died for our sins, that he fulfilled the law. None of us ever personally met Messiah. But we have faith that he what? Existed? That he died for our sins? You might have had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. If you know that you've had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, you don't really need faith. You know that he exists by your encounter with him. The law is not of faith. You don't need faith for the law. You can pick up the law and read it. You can pick up the law and read it and then what? Do it. You don't need faith for that. The law is not of faith. But the man that doeth them shall live in them. So he's not saying don't do them. You still got to have faith that the Most High is going to deliver you and resurrect you, because you had faith in Messiah and that he helped you clean up your record, that he gave you a new start. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. The curse of the law was that you were guilty and you were damned. You were charged, and the charges brought you death. That was the curse of the law, and Messiah redeemed us from the curse. Start, if he cleared all your charges, then he redeemed you, being made a curse for us. The Most High says, I'm going to put all this sin on him. He who's sin not. He was made sin for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Messiah, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The promise of the Spirit through faith, talking about. Verse 15. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be out of a man's covenant. Yet if it be confirmed, no man disannuls or cancels or add thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Remember, this was made to Abraham before he was circumcised. This was made to Abraham before the Most High gave all of the law to Israel. The promise was made to Abraham and his seed were the now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to see as of many, but as of one. And to thy seed, which is Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, the one who came that was sinless, who was going to pay the price for everyone, who is the Most High Living Elohim. Those that are in him. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of Elohim in Christ, the law. The covenant was confirmed in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after. The promise was 430 years after it was given to Abraham. The law was given. That covenant was confirmed in Messiah. Let me read that to you again. Say that the covenant that was confirmed before in Christ or in Messiah, the law, which was 430 years after what? The promise made to Abraham, cannot disannul or cannot cancel, that it should make the promise that was made to Abraham of none effect. So you are not saved through the law. You're saved through the promise that the Most High made to Abraham of the Messiah. And that he had faith in that he hadn't seen the Messiah, but he believed that the Messiah was going to come through his seed. That was his faith. He couldn't touch Messiah. He couldn't see Messiah. It was just spoken to him, and he believed it. Of Abraham. So the law couldn't annul that. The law couldn't cancel that out. The promise wasn't given based upon the law. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise. But Elohim gave it to Abraham by promise. I promise you, Abraham, if you obey my voice and walk in my ways, and we're going to see this, my commandments that I've given to you, that Messiah is going to come to your seed. I'm going to make of you many nations, and I'm going to bless all those nations that come out of you. With the kingdom. If they believe. If they have the same faith as you have. Wherefore service the law? What purpose does the law serve? Added because of transgression. Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hands of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but Elohim is one. So who's mediating for you? The Most High is mediating for you from the position of Son. But he's still also the Father. This is what this verse is telling you. Usually you don't have a mediator between one party. You have a mediator between multiple parties. But Elohim is having to mediate with himself on our behalf, that if we believe in him and his salvation in Messiah, that he will give us salvation. But if we believe, then we got to do what he says to do. Abraham is, quote-unquote, to the Gentiles. Abraham is the example. Is the law against the promises of Elohim? Elohim forbid. The law can't cancel out the promises of Elohim, neither are they against the promises of Elohim. So, why would you not keep the law? If the law can't bring about the promise and the law is not against the promise, what makes you think that you don't have to keep the law? What makes you think that keeping the law is going to make you unrighteous or something? It's the exact opposite. Not keeping the law is going to make you unrighteous. But if there had been a law given, which could have given life. The law is not meant to give you life. The law is meant to show you how to live a righteous life. Verily, righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture has included all under sin. The scripture has included all up under transgression of the law. If there was a law that could give you life, the Most High would have given it to us. The law was to show you that if you transgress, never in the law is there a reward for transgression. There's always a penalty. And because our nature, here's the whole thing, because our nature is to transgress, man's thoughts are always continually evil. That's his nature. Then no law, if you kept all the law, you would have still been a sinner. Why? Because your conception was sin. And since the Most High knew that our nature was to transgress, the law that would always give us death. Why? Because he wanted to give us a Savior. He wanted to be our Savior. He wanted it to point you to back to him. He wants the law to point you back to him, not the law save you itself. The law was to point us back to Christ, who would justify us. No law given that would give us life. He could have said, you know what? If you did X, you shall receive life. If you only do this X. But he knew that our nature was not to do those types of things, so he didn't give it to us. He gave us those things that he knew that we would do, and that's to transgress. So none of us can say that we don't need Messiah. Even if we kept all the law, our very conception would have put us in sin. That very sex act between a man and a woman. It's all designed to lead us back to him. Now, do we come back to him lawless? So is the law against the promises of Elohim? No, Elohim forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture has concluded all understand that the promises by faith of Christ might be given to them that believe. Everybody that believes in Messiah. That's how he wants to justify it. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster. To do what? To bring us to Christ, sinner. I'm a transgressor. That we might be justified by faith. I believe that Messiah died for my sins and cleared my record. I'm now a new creature. The law couldn't do that. The law could only put charges on your book. Transgression of the law could only put charges on your book. Messiah came and cleared your book. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. No longer under a teacher. That don't mean that you forget the law. You're no longer, you don't need anybody to teach you the law. For you are all children of Elohim by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Yeshua HaMashiach. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now let's look at Abraham and his faith. Let's look at the promise that the Most High made to Abraham. Let's look at what Abraham did. Abraham, a law keeper. Go to Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26, let's hit verse 4. This is the promise he made to Abraham. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. Now he's repeating this promise to Isaac, Abraham's son. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and to thy seed shall all the nations, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Why? Verse 5. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my law. Faithful Abraham was not a lawbreaker. Faithful Abraham believed the promise of Messiah, believed the promise that the Most High would give him all these nations, and that all these nations believed with all his heart that the Most High would cause this to come to happen. He didn't live to see all those nations. He didn't live to see all that seed. He didn't live to see Messiah. That was his faith, that he believed the Most High, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. That he believed the Most High, and he believed the promise. But Abraham obeyed the voice of the Most High. Abraham did whatever the Most High told him to do. Kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Abraham. So if you are the seed of Abraham, the faithful seed of Abraham, then you got to obey the voice of the Most High. You got to do whatever the Most High says. You got to keep the commandments of the Most High. You got to keep the statutes of the Most High. You got to keep the laws of the Most High. And it will go without saying, you got to keep the judgments of the Most High. If you are the seed of Abraham, if you're righteous, lawful, now Abraham, the law given to Israel, that was supposed to be given to the world was not for another 430 years that the Most High would enter into a contract, a covenant with Israel. But Abraham had those laws. The Most High gave them to him. And it was to him and not to an entire people. And it was to his seed. And when the Most High was ready to make a nation out of his seed, out of his offspring, then he gave him the same statutes, commandments, the same laws. So if you being a Gentile are brought into the promise by faithful Abraham, And Abraham is supposed to be your example. And you have to obey the voice of the Most High. That's why the Most High says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Abraham kept them. You have to keep them. How do you say that you're not up under a law? How is that possible? You won't even go back and read the Old Testament. Find out that the one that he's giving you to use as an example and the one that he's telling you that your promise that you're being brought into this kingdom by the promise made to this one, the Gentiles are brought in by the promise made to Abraham. Before Abraham was circumcised, the Most High made a promise to him. And because Abraham was faithful and he believed Elohim, the Most High said, I'm going to give you a covenant now. I'm going to make a covenant with you now, Abraham. And the sign of this covenant is all of your males shall be circumcised. Covenant that he entered into the Most High with. That's the sign of the covenant. This is the agreement. I'm going to save the Gentiles through your seed, through your faithful seed, which is Messiah. And I'm going to save them no matter what nation that they're in, because I'm going to make of you many nations, a father of many nations. You can't walk before me raggedy. You can't be disobedient to me, Abraham. You can't do whatever's right in your own eyes. You can't disobey my voice. So Abraham had to obey the voice of the Most High. You have to obey the voice of the Most High. Abraham kept the charge of the Most High. Whatever the Most High charged him to do, that's what he did. Abraham was given the commandments of the Most High. You've been given the commandments of the Most High. Abraham, he obeyed the Most High statute. Heathen, Gentile, just as Israel has to. You have to. And my law. You have to obey them. So how in the world does the church say we are not up under the law? How does the church say we don't have to obey the law? The laws have not been done away with. The laws are so that you don't transgress it, so that you don't be a transgressor. That's what they are to show you to be, show you to do or not to do, that you don't be a transgressor. Out the laws, just like the laws don't cancel the promise. Let's read that again. Let me get those so we make sure we got them. Back in Galatians chapter 3. Hold on, let me find a specific verse. Just use verse 17. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 17. But if we, while we seek to be justified by Messiah, we ourselves also are found sinners, found to be sinners, is there then, is Christ the minister of transgression of the law? Elohim forbid. And let me get one other place. Is the law then against the promises of Elohim? Elohim forbid. The law is not against the promises of Elohim. Not against them. If you keep the law, it doesn't break the promise that Elohim made to Abraham of the Messiah. But if you are a transgressor, you are a transgressor. The law was just not given to save you. That don't mean that you don't keep it. That don't mean that you don't do it. Abraham was a doer of the law. So if you are in faithful Abraham, then you got to be like Abraham. Keeping the law doesn't cancel the promise. But if you're not a keeper of the law, trust me, you are considered to be in sin. And you will go to the lake. So it doesn't make sense not to be a doer of the law, as faithful Abraham was. Genesis chapter 26 and verse 5 again. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge and my commandments and my statutes and my law. Abraham was a doer of the law. He was a keeper of the law. And if you are part of Abraham's seed, if you're a Messiah, if you're in Christ, keeper of the law, was a doer of the law. So you, as being Abraham's seed, must be a doer of the law also. Romans chapter 8 and verse 4, and this will be the last verse for tonight. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. The righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. When you walk after the Spirit, you're not a transgressor of the law. You're not going to transgress the Most High's laws if you're walking by His Spirit. That's just the bottom line. You say that you're walking after the Spirit of the Most High and be a transgressor of the law. It is impossible. So who is accepted with the Most High? Go back to Acts chapter 10. But in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. He that fears him and that keeps his law are accepted with him. That's the first step. So if you were unrighteous, unlawful, and you come to Christ and you realize that I'm unrighteous and I'm unlawful, and you confess your unlawfulness, you confess your unrighteousness, you confess your sin, Christ wipes away, Mashiach wipes away all the charges that were against you. He justifies you. Now are you righteous? And as long as you walk in the Spirit of the Most High and you don't transgress again, you remain righteous. remain justified. And if you do a sin ignorantly, that you don't do something or you don't do something that you don't know you're supposed to do, or you do something that you're, let me say this over, let me slow down. If you don't do something that you're supposed to, or you do something that you're not supposed to, either way, if you do them ignorantly, then he will forgive you. The day you recognize that it is wrong and you confess it, he is true and just to forgive you. But once you know something is wrong and you choose to do it, there is no blood for that. There is no forgiveness for that. That's what he's saying. At that point, then you really are at the Most High's mercy. You are already at his mercy, but now you really are at his mercy, whether he will charge you with that or not. And if you never go back and truly repent and keep trying to use him as an ATM, he knows that your heart is not sincere. Trying to use him, you think that he's a fool. And you can just keep doing wrong and keep saying, I'm sorry, but you're not really sorry. You never truly repented. So he won't be made a fool of. Fear Yah and keep his commandments. That's the bottom line. No matter what nation you come from, no matter what people you come from, whether you are Jew or Gentile, fear Yah and keep his commandments. Then you'll be acceptable with him. Walk in his commandments. Not don't walk in them and don't do them. Does he love you? Yes, he does. But, you know, I don't think we really believe. You've ever had children. You know, you'll have a child that does everything you say do, and you'll have one that's just as disobedient as they want to be. But you love them both the same. But truth of the matter is, the one that you're going to reward with good things all the time is the one that does good all the time. The one that's always being disobedient, you're not going to reward them with good things all the time, because they're going to be in punishment most of the time. Unfortunately for us, the Most High's time out is death. It ain't corner time. It's death. You know, we give our child, we might give them time out. We might, you know, take something from them. But with the Most High, he says, hey, if you don't never learn, you never repent, my punishment is death. Time out. So are you righteous? Each and every person has to look at them for themselves. And if you read those scriptures and try to interpret them, that you don't have to keep the law, the law don't stop the promises of Elohim. But if you break the law, you won't receive the promises of Elohim for real. The benefits that you get with Messiah is that he clears your record. But like Paul said, if you be a doer of the law and then be found to be a sinner while claiming Christ, Elohim forbid. Can't say you're following and keeping the faith of Christ and be a sinner. that and then we'll close out. Second Galatians chapter 2, verse 17. Now I'm going to actually start this, and I'm going to read this in a way so we can understand that we're talking about we who are Jews, Galatians chapter 2, verse 15, we who are Jews by nature, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith in Yeshua HaMashiach, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith of Christ. We're still law keepers. That we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found to be sinners for Christ, the minister of sin. Elohim forbid. So while you are seeking to be justified by Messiah, don't also be found to be a sinner, a transgressor of the law, because Mashiach is not the minister of sin. Now, sin is okay for you to transgress the law because you are justified by Mashiach. Now, that's talking to us that already know better. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, that old sinner me, I make myself a transgressor. For what? His law. So if you don't keep his law, you are a transgressor. Let's bow our heads. Father Yah, let your word go forth, that as many as you should want to hear it, to hear it. Let it be a warning to the church and to all those that feel like they do not need to keep your law. All those that feel like they are in Abraham, that they are Abraham's seed because they are in Mashiach, that they have the faith of Abraham, that they just believe that Messiah came and died for their sins, that they also know that they have to be the same as faithful Abraham and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments and obey your voice. Just as faithful Abraham did, just as Messiah did. They say their Savior was sinless. They say their Savior obeyed your commandments, obeyed your voice, but they themselves don't have to. Something's wrong with that. Something is wrong with that. All right. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep his commandments. That is the whole duty of man. It has not changed, old or the new covenant. You want to be accepted by the Most High? Fear him and keep his commandments. That's what Peter was saying in Acts chapter 10 and verse 35, I believe. Be blessed. Enjoy the rest of your Sabbath, or if your Sabbath is over, enjoy your week. We will have spiritual wellness in the morning. So all of you who are with me on that, we will meet at our regularly scheduled time, and we will continue I believe we were in the middle of a video. We will continue wherever we left off at in that study. Shalom, family. May Yah bless you and keep you. Blessings to you, along to everyone else listening online. Have a blessed evening.